I tried both directions. Ah, there we go. Welcome to the new guy. I'm used to a lapel mic. That's the problem. I hope you're still with me, though, anyway. We'll pick up. So far, Jesus has been teaching a lot. And people are following him, if you didn't hear that part. But the people are discovering that he is no ordinary teacher, because he is claiming to be the one they have been waiting for. In the verses preceding our gospel lesson today, Jesus is making a radical claim to have come down from heaven. And if that were not enough, he is also saying that his body and blood would be their eternal nourishment and indeed their very salvation. He tells them that life comes from having Jesus Christ within. He is reiterating that the bread and the wine are his body and blood, the real presence of Jesus with them and with us. By saying real, he is saying that his body and his blood are as he is meant to be. His body and blood are truly meant for eternal life. And this seems impossible to them. Many of them turned away at this teaching, believing that what he was claiming was impossible. This claim of impossibility reminded me of a quote that has been on our refrigerator for many years. My wife has a great sense of humor and loves to use literature to express that sometimes. And this comes from Alice in Wonderland. I thought we could catch all the generations at once with this one. And here's what it says. Alice laughed. "There's no use trying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the Queen. "When I was younger, I always did it for a half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." The gospel often requires imagination. But Alice sounds a bit like the murmuring and grumbling of the disciples, saying, "How does he expect us to believe that?" We may agree, that sounds impossible. And it is, except that this is in Christ, and we trust in Christ. Jesus wants us to believe what is otherwise impossible. Jesus wants us to believe that we can be with him in the presence of the Father in heaven. That is what we are destined for in Christ. He wants us to stand with him in heaven, because to stand before God in Christ is to be fully alive. In order to show them, in order to tell them who he really is, he asks what they would think if they were to see him ascending into heaven. It's a real challenge. "What would you think if I ascended into heaven?" He is letting them know that he is just as comfortable in heaven or earth, because Jesus is the Word made flesh, which we read in the first chapter of John. Jesus is the Word that was present in the beginning in the creation and has brought life into this world. He was there when the Holy Spirit breathed life into this world. And John wants us to see that by the Heavenly One who has come here to earth, that is the one, he is the one that will make us welcome in heaven, awaiting us there to present us to the Father, brothers and sisters in Christ. The Word, that is Jesus Christ, came to live with us and to give us his body and his blood to show that we are both spiritual and bodily beings. As we live our lives, we are encouraged to live with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are people who are made in the image of God, and God claimed, when he made us, that we were very good. We are made for life in a world that God claimed to be good. Now, in our sin, we have rebelled against God, but God continues to call us into the goodness that he has made for us. To assist us, we are given the Holy Spirit to be a guide and a comforter. We are all called to accept, embrace, and exercise the spiritual gifts that Paul mentions in Ephesians. And these are truly gifts to us. They have to be gifts because they would be impossible for us to attain on our own. But again, God is gracious, and God gives these gifts. It would be impossible, as we noted earlier, except that in Christ alone, indeed, these things are possible. And as Peter notes, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. He recognizes they can't look elsewhere. There is no turning away. There is nowhere to go. This means that we, as Christians, return again and again to the one who is faithful to keep his promises. And we rely on that. Dear people of God, you and I are made in the image of God. So put on the armor of God by returning again and again and again to worship and to daily prayer, where we meet our Savior. Now remember, these gifts are not simply a protection. They are that. But they are meant to give strength. Standing before God, we become strong and ready, able to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. That is a warning in our message today. That is a warning from Scripture today. We need to be prepared to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered. We are empowered just like that by the Holy Spirit, to be ready, to be strengthened. We are strengthened by the power of the body and blood of Jesus. When we come and gather here to receive this Holy Communion, we are blessed to take Jesus and to be nourished. And this is not only for ourselves, but for the whole world. This means that we carry this out into the world with us. Paul says that when we seek the faith of Jesus Christ, we are the ones who bear Jesus Christ to the world. Be exhorters not only by words, but by your conduct, that they who have not been baptized may be quick to follow you, and that they may not perish by imitating you. May we seek to be the church as God has called us in today's collect, which says, may God's church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, show forth your power among all peoples to the glory of your name. Amen.